Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Noticing your thoughts. Just release any thought of the future or the past. Presence yourself to right now. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal pathway. All the way up, in through the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing your attention on the point between your eyebrows. Know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God. It is the fullness of wisdom and intelligence. It is creativity itself and unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me now. Today, this morning, a few days before the designated day of remembrance on the calendar, today I pause to remember. I remember the brave who protected and are protecting our country. I acknowledge the required courage and deep conviction of faith for a positive, peaceful result. I touch that place in my heart of deep thanksgiving for their sacrifices, as well as their family and friends. I remember also those who have personally touched my life deeply. I especially remember those who have made their transition to the next dimension. A family, parents, grandparents, perhaps brother or sister, aunts, uncles, cousins. I remember friends and teachers, mentors, and role models. I remember those who are still in this current life expression, those who make a difference in my life, those who encourage, support, empower, and bless me, my life. Thank you, God, for this wonderful faculty of remembering. Thank you, God, for each person who has so profoundly touched my life. Thank you, God, for the capacity to give and receive love. And most of all, thank you, God, for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is, I remember that. I remember that. I've had quite a powerful last couple of weeks, and a part of it, in part, is some of the reading that I'm doing. I'm spending a lot of time reading. I read about 3 hours a day right now. And one of the books that I'm deeply into is Practicing the Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, sequel to his book, The Power of Now. And he has a number of exercises in there. And this exercise isn't new to me because I think many times I've said, so what is this really about throughout my life? And I've actually shared that in topics. But the way he languages it is, what is going on inside me as at this moment? What kinds of thoughts is your mind producing? What do you feel? That's just one of the little exercises. It's important for us to be aware, consciously aware, of where we go in our thoughts, and especially if we're going into the past remembering. I took two solid days off, which many times I don't take 2 days off back to back. And I did a lot of introspection in those 2 days. And I want to share with you some of the findings, because not so much findings, but where I visited, partly to create a deeper relationship with each one of you being here this morning, but also for this week being Remembrance Day on Friday, that we have this week be an exercise for ourselves to remember not only those people who have given their lives and to protect us, certainly them, but also just to do a lot of deep remembering and see where our remembering goes. So 3 things I want to address this morning. Where do you go mostly in your remembering? When you're remembering something, where do you mostly go? And I will return to that in a moment. Some of us definitely have some very positive memories, and some of us have some very, what we would call, negative memories. So in recalling some of them, have we also acknowledged consciously the impact that those memories make on our life now and when they were happening? The impact that they have had and sometimes continue to have. And 3, I want to end with a powerful exercise that I would hope that you would do this week, because I spent half a day doing this exercise myself. I'm not saying that you should set aside a half a day for yourself, but it was a very powerful experience for me. So let's go back to what do we remember most? Like, what do we mostly go to? And when I start thinking about that, it's probably something having to do with a particular time in our life, maybe, or a particular person or persons, or remembering a feeling that we had. And feelings were a result of what we thought, even though the thought may have been very, very like a nanosecond. And then we slipped into a feeling. And then we might be remembering something that we did, like an action. So it's kind of like those categories. So one of the things that I did also this week in my 2 days of introspection, we get, I live in Sydney, and I don't know how many communities receive this magazine, but it's called The Boulevard. And there's a couple of writers in there that I always turn to those pages and read what they have to say, but I also like the second last page. It's something like the O magazine of Oprah. I always kind of read that first because she starts what I know. So in this magazine, the Oprah, not this magazine, the Oprah, the magazine, the Boulevard, pardon me, Oprah's on my mind here this morning because I was reading a little bit from the magazine this morning. But in the magazine, the Boulevard, the second last page is usually a questionnaire of someone fairly well known. Well, I didn't even know this person this time that they interviewed, but I always like to read the questions. And in looking at this magazine every couple of months, I think, you know, the old should, I should do these questions sometimes. They're really good questions. So one of the questions was, there's about 10 or 12 of them, what is one of your most significant childhood memories? What is one of your most significant childhood memories? Well, this gentleman who is being interviewed, he's actually plays Santa Claus. His name is Graham Barnard. He answered like this. I was at the Wisset Lodge on December 21st, 43, when a Lancaster bomber crashed 400 yards from my bedroom with a very large bomb. It was the second biggest explosion on UK soil. My bedroom seemed to lift up and then settle down with glass everywhere. So I went into my memory, especially in preparing for my topic this morning, and I thought, what is my most significant childhood memory? And I came up with kind of two memories. I came up with a very loving thought and memory of my father. I used to sit on his lap a lot, and when he came home from work, he'd be talking to my mom, and I'd feed him his dinner. And I always remember he had a special name for me. My father was Polish, and he used to call me Kicha Kuchana, which is darling kitten. So I kind of smiled at that memory. And then another memory came up, and it was of my mom. And my mom was quite a critical person. And the criticism that I particularly remember was a comment she made about my body one time when I was growing up. And I came down to answer the phone, and I was naked under my robe, and my robe opened up. And she made a very negative comment about my body. So, you know, those were kind of like two memories that were significant to me because they made impacts on my life. So I ask you to kind of look, you know, in your own life, and not necessarily pick out a positive one or a negative one, but that's kind of just what came up for me. I was thinking of, that's a particular time that's in our life, childhood. Then I was thinking of about another particular time in my life. My husband, Norman, we were married 31 years in a large blended family. And especially after he made his transition to another dimension. A lot of memories, especially weeks and months after he passed, a lot of my memory and my remembering was about him. And most of them were good. I would say 99.8% of them were good. Then another memory surfaced of a person who was in my life for about
I shouldn't even say in my life, in my face for about a year. And this person exposed me to someone that I thought was of a much higher consciousness than the person really was, and was very critical and very angry and didn't always tell the whole truth, because I caught this person at several non-truths. So I thought, wow. And I started to look at how that impacted my life, how my marriage to Norman and remembering him, and then how this other person impacted my life. Then I started to think of how blessed I've been of the number of mentors I have had in my life. And I decided to mark them all down. And you know, I just got into such a feeling of thankfulness. Do you know, I have personally had 22 mentors in my life that I would call mentors, that have made a difference to who I am, how I be, what I do, from a spiritual context. So, you know, it's great that Remembrance Day comes so close after Thanksgiving. And in the States, Thanksgiving and Remembrance Day, Memorial Day, are very, very close. I was thinking too, and as I say this, I would like you to go in your memory, maybe not here, but hopefully sometime this week, of, you know, remembering some of these incidences and people and times in our life. I was thinking of some people in my life who have really touched my life and have verbalized it. They said some things in my life that made a difference to me. And you know, I got to thinking about a couple of people that I hadn't thought of in years. I got to thinking about when I was in real estate, a very young rookie realtor in Edmonton. And one of the branch managers came down to our branch on the north side in Edmonton to drive us to the south side. And he had an absolutely beautiful car with air conditioning. And this is in the early 70s. And I commented on his car. And he said to me, "You will do very well in real estate, Gail, and you will be driving a car like this or better." And I hadn't thought of that thought for a long time. But you know what? At the time when I heard that, I didn't negate it. I just went, "Hmm." You know? And at one level, I know I accepted it. So, you know, think back to who made a difference in your life. I remember when I was raising my first husband and I were raising our sons when they were young, and I wanted to have some extra outlet in my life, and I also wanted to earn some extra money. So I went out and I was selling Tupperware for a short time. And even though I practiced in front of my first husband and he laughed through the whole demonstration, that was another remembrance that came up for me. I remember my manager saying to me, "You're going to be the best Tupperware manager that our company has, no, the best Tupperware salesperson that our company has ever had." And you know what? I was. And they wanted to promote me to be a manageress, and I said, "Oh, before I'm a manager, I'll go sell real estate." And that's what I did. That's another whole story. Then I remember one of my spiritual mentors, Roy Eugene Davis. And I went to an intensive, was it called a teacher training? I think it was. outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in his wonderful spiritual center, the Center for Spiritual Awareness. And Roy is a direct disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda. And he looked out on the audience, and it wasn't a large audience. And he kind of had eye contact with each one of us. And he said to us, "You are all ministers." And I was taken back. Like, I was kind of there to learn the principles a little more and maybe teach them a little bit somewhere. What a difference that made in my life. Perhaps somebody in your life has said something to you that maybe you haven't thought of for a long time, but it impacted you and it made a difference. People that, because of them, you have walked taller and stronger and more confident in your life for having been touched by them. Are we willing to be that kind of person for other people also? So that they have a remembrance of us, of maybe something we said to them, so that in their life they walk taller and stronger and more confident in their life for having been touched by us. Don't just think it, speak it, verbalize it, say it. And then I was thinking about some things I've done, and I thought about the real significant ones. It wasn't so much what I did, it was my beingness in the doing. How I was, I know it's improper English for your teachers, but how I beed in it. You know what I mean? How I was in it. Carolyn's laughing with me. So, you know, in our remembering, we have, you know, some wonderful positive things, and they're empowering to us. They made a contribution to us, and of course they made us who we are as an expression of who we are right now. And then of course the negative things, especially if we bring them up and are very conscious of it, then it's possibly an invitation for us to, for lack of a better phrase, do something about it. Some of the things that I did was I took some very powerful workshops that I knew would work on specific areas that I had had some negative programming in. John Bradshaw's Mother and Father workshop, finishing business with mother, was very big in my life. I had a lot of unfinished business with my mother. My mother died when I was 16. Workshops, seminars, books, and some of us may even think we need to have some extra professional help and go for therapy. I've gone for therapy in 2 different times in my life, and I can't tell you how much it empowered me at the time. And you have to be truthful and honest. And I used to spend the week before, the times before I saw my therapist, remembering and thinking about something that I could bring to her instead of her kind of having to question me and pull it out of me, you know? And another thing I was thinking of, and another thing that I know I was really upset with in parts of my life, like that. So that you're really in partnership with the person who is there to assist and support you as your therapist. One of the things that I've had to work through in my life, and I know a lot of people have this, and I'm going to call it an issue or a box that some of us get into and some people never get out of. It's not good enough, or you could have done better. How many know what I'm talking about? A few people in the room? And that reminds me of an old memory, you know, of grade 4, of a grade 4 teacher embarrassing me in front of the whole class because I had been away from school and I didn't know some of the new words that were coming up, and I got up and I started to breathe fast and my heart started to palpitate so much that it looked like I was growing a third breast, and I started almost to stutter, and she said, "Sit down! You'll never be able to read." How that impacted me. Do you know I could not read even a sentence in front of other people until I was 30 years old? It impacted me. Yeah. I remember crying all the way home from grade 5 or whatever because I had 32 A's and 2 B's and I knew my father would be upset. No wonder I had that box. He looked at the report card. Satekego, he says. I might not be saying it properly in Polish, but what is this? He was pointing to the 2 B's. See? So, you know, knowing that, even when I was taking 2 days off this last year, this last week rather, 2 days off back to back, and I'm going, the old box came back. Just a little bit. I didn't let it control me. But, you know, like, I should be doing some work here. Not realizing that the work that I was doing was very empowering to who I am, to my topic, but it's like, oh my God, you know, to spend 2 days of just introspection. And then I laugh at it now. But I'll tell you, it still kind of grabs me every so often. So look in your life about your remembrances, and if you have any kind of boxes that you kind of move into sometimes, and don't build a condominium there. You know, move through it. All right. I was remembering from my childhood, I was very sports-oriented, and I was captain of the volleyball team of the intermediate champions in Winnipeg, and I got my picture in the paper. That's a good memory. You know, I remember being a basketball referee, and boy, you take the bus and you arrive at the different high schools and they go, "The ref's here, the ref's here." Those are all, you know, good memories. I was chosen to square dance for a TV program one time. Remembering birthdays, you know, just conjure up some of these wonderful memories. Norman and I had a wonderful party for our 25th wedding anniversary, and we invited 70 guests to the Dunsmuir Lodge, and some of our kids flew in, and some of the things that they shared at the front of the room, and some of them even had them typewritten for us to save. And I'll tell you, sometimes when I'm feeling a little low, especially relative to family, I pull out these letters and read them. Yeah, read them. I remember the first time I heard Roy Eugene Davis speak. It was at a seminar that the Positive Living Center in Calgary had in Banff. And I sat at the edge of my seat. Words, and I did the same thing with Barbara Marx Hubbard the first time I heard her speak at an international conference, and then brought her seminar back here, Love at the Core. I remember speaking at, please, you know, as I'm doing this, you please do the homework this week of pulling up memories. I remember speaking at the Vernon New Thought Center, and my godmother Auntie was there. And she cried through the whole service. And part of the crying was she was so proud of me. And you know, that gave me a gift because I, you know, what it's like, maybe you don't know what it's like to live without a mother or father the number of years that I have lived. And that was such a gift to me, for her to be so touched and moved and proud of me. Some negative thoughts and the impact on me was my near-death experience, which I won't go into in any great depth. One of my near-death experiences was an automobile collision, but when I was living in Edmonton, wintertime would come and it would be icy, and I'd be behind the wheel of the car and I wouldn't have control of the car, and a great fear would well up from deep within me from the impact of that automobile collision. When I was about 8 years old, I was on a rubber tube on Lake Winnipeg, out quite far, and the tube burst, and I couldn't swim. And my mother, who was 8 months pregnant, ran in the water and pulled me out. How it impacted me is I was terrified of water until about 22 years ago, when I was speaking at the Edmonton Center that we started. And someone who was a lifeguard in the audience took me aside and said, "I will teach you how to swim properly, that you will not be afraid of water." And he did, and I'm so thankful. You know, remembrance of stuff like that. I could go on. Oh. Oprah Winfrey has been talking about a book called A Million Little Pieces. I bought the book 2 weeks ago. I read it in about 48 hours. Very difficult book to get through. It's about someone who has a very strong addiction to drugs and his true life journey through that. It was hard for me to read that book. My father was an alcoholic. And one very dear person in my family is an alcoholic. So it's like that. One of the things that I'm doing right now is, God. My husband, Norman, wrote his autobiography on the computer like this. Took him 2 years to write about 60 or 70 pages, and what a difference it made to his family and to me. So I thought, oh, I just love to do that, because, you know, my kids don't know very much about my family. They hardly ask any questions, and of course they didn't have a grandma or grandpa around. I thought, oh, well, I just don't have time. So what I did was I made a commitment to myself to start. And I'm committed to 1 hour of writing at least 3 times a week. And it's amazing how much writing we can do. But it's amazing what comes up. I've written about my mother, everything I could remember about her. Of course, it's only 16 years that I was with her. She was with me. My father, my 3 sisters, my first husband. Interesting, the memories that come up. Now I'm working on my uncles and aunts. As you remember, acknowledge the impact that it has made in your life. And what I'd like you to do is do an exercise. So if you're taking notes, I'd like you to take this note down. Otherwise, I will put it on the board, and I apologize. I forgot to put it on the board. But it's something that I read a little earlier, and it's from David Hawkins' book, I. And I'll just say it this way, because I spent a number of hours looking back and doing this exercise. He didn't say it as an exercise. It was just a statement in the book. And I'm somebody that when I read, I highlight. And I highlighted that real, real brightly. It's living proof of God's love and will. Living proof of God's love and will for you is the gift of our own experience.
The living proof of God's love and will for you is the gift of our own experience. You know, I brought all my notes that I did. You know, it took me hours to do this. And I'm not going to share it all, but just some of the things that I, you know, got in touch with, that it just, I don't think I have been in touch with God's love and will for me to the extent that I am now. And a big part of it was doing this exercise. How I started with survival, just survival. You know, just a couple of statements. I survived even though my mother never said, "I love you." I survived after my mother and father died of cancer and whittled away from cancer. I survived after several experiences of sexual abuse. And then I moved on from survival. Remembered my first two boyfriends in my life. That I actually attracted some very, very caring, loving boyfriends. You know, and tying this into God's living proof of the love and will that God has for us through our experiences in our life. My children, my stepchildren, I have six of them. The employment, the different places of employment that I was, that was impetus for me to be trained in excellence. You know, I was a telephone operator for the Manitoba telephone system for a few years. I was a switchboard operator for a small airline company in Alberta. So, like that, looking yourself. Then I listed all the different workshops and seminars that I've taken. And then I got into listing my mentors. And that's when I just, man, had to get into a bit of a crying jag over that one. Some of them have made their transitions. Oh. The friends that love me and have loved me no matter what. Beautiful experiences that I had with my husband. And the love that I had from one particular cousin that I wasn't particularly close to until she got cancer. She went into remission for a number of years, got into new thought, was very participatory in Vernon, and then she had cancer came back and she died. I could go on, but time doesn't permit me to, and I need to blow my nose a little bit. Don't have this Remembrance Day be just a holiday from work or whatever. I'd like you really to build up to this Remembrance Day. I have to tell you another story, and I might even go off the tape. I rented the movie, The Upside of Anger. How many of you have seen that movie? Not very many of you. It's the first movie. I think it's a sleeper, and I think it should have deserved several Academy Awards. It's the first movie that I actually watched, and then you know how on the DVD, they have commentary, and you can watch the movie with commentary. The commentary was with Joan Allen, which is the actress, I think she's an exceptional actress. And one of the other actors in it, who also wrote and directed the film. So I watched the movie on one day,
And then the next day I decide, I'm going to watch the commentary on this movie because this is an amazing movie. So I watched it with commentary, and I was just so touched by what they had to say with it. I watched it again with knowing, having the undergirding of the commentary. And I want to close with these two ideas, because sometimes in our life we have remembrances of people who are angry with us, or we were angry with them, and of course those are our negative experiences. But some of the closing comments at the end, because it's called the upside of anger, is who we become as a result of it. And it's kind of the evolution of a woman's anger through the movie. And that anger can be a waste of time, because many times we don't know the whole story. Because many times we don't know the whole story. The other actor in it was Kevin Costner. So thank you for your conscious listening this morning and your presence here this morning. I just really invite you to have this Remembrance Day really be a blessing in your life. Not necessarily a real day of sadness, but a day of remembering the good times, the negative times, people in our lives, different times in our life, and different experiences, and that they all have contributed to making you, you. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you.